可能详情不会一一跟大家分享。
We begin. My wife had a lumpectomy for cancer on Monday.
首先，礼拜一我的太太就是有这个乳腺癌做的手术。
But she is doing very well.
不过她就恢复得很好。
And then some of you know Stephanie, our daughter.
然后我们的女儿 Stephanie.
And her husband has been out of work for 18 months.
因为她的丈夫18个月没有工作。
And he has just gone to California to work there.
那她就去了加州找到了一份工作，刚刚开始。
Though the family will stay here in the Tri-Cities.
不过女儿的这个整一家都还继续留在三镇。
And then a couple of days ago, our grandnephew, my wife's brother's grandson.
然后几天前，我们一个我太太的哥哥的孙子。
He's an army ranger.
他是在军队里面是一个army ranger.
And he was severely wounded in Afghanistan.
在阿富汗受了重伤。
And then yesterday, one of my closest friends,
昨天我一个最好的朋友
a pastor in Idaho,
他是在爱德荷州做牧师。
In fact, we were in kindergarten and all eight grades together.
实际上这个朋友是我从这个读幼稚园开始就已经在一起的朋友。
He had come to speak at our annual banquet on Friday.
他礼拜五来到我们的这个每年的这个宴会中间，他还在那边做了主旨讲员。
My wife and I spent yesterday morning with Lloyd and his wife.
昨天上午我跟我太太和他跟他的太太还在一起。
And they drove back to Idaho.
他们开车回到爱德荷。
And an hour after they got there.
他回家一个钟头之后
he dropped dead of a heart attack.
然后心脏病发作就接回天家
and so pray for his wife and family. She called us last night and we were just totally shocked as we'd been with them.
昨天晚上当他太太打电话给我们告诉我们这个消息的时候我们是非常震惊因为白天还跟他们在一起
So it's good for me, I think, emotionally to be with you today. I think that God timed all of this.
所以神给我安排了这样好的这个时间，让我跟你们今天在一起，在我的这个心理上也是一种疗法。
So I'll get into the message now.
所以现在我们就开始今天的这个讲题。
And I already want to correct a mistake that I made.
当我把这个经文告诉你们的时候，我犯了一个小错误。
The second scripture reading is actually 2 Peter 1:21 rather than 1 Peter 1:21.
因为第二段经文要读的是在彼得后书1:21，而不是彼得前书1:21。
So I'll just read it to you in English. It's very short.
所以我现在用先给大家读出来。
For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit.
因为预言从来没有出于人意的，乃是人被圣灵感动，说出神的话来。
That statement is speaking about how the Bible came to us.
这一段经文所讲的就是圣经是怎么样写出来的。
So my topic, the subject for this morning, has to do with how God has spoken and continues to speak to us.
我今天所要讲的是神如何向我们晓谕，并且继续的向我们晓谕。
The idea is that God, who created us in His image, has always wanted not only to save us through Christ, but to communicate to us, to let us know who He is and how we respond to Him.
因为神按着他的形象创造了我们，不单只要在基督里面拯救我们，而且他一直都希望能够跟我们有这个沟通，让这个沟通里面让我们能够认识到神是什么样的神。
And so theologians speak about God's revelation to us, how He's revealed Himself to us.
所以神学家把这个称之为神向人的启示。
And there are two overall forms of revelation, general revelation and specific or special revelation.
所以在神学家就把神的启示分为两个大类，一大类叫做普遍启示，另一大类叫做特殊启示。
Now, general revelation comes to us through the things that God has made.
那普遍启示呢，就是借着神所创造的这一切来向我们说话。
For example, Psalm 19 verse 1 says that the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of His hands.
比如诗篇19篇第一节说，诸天述说神的荣耀，穹苍传扬他的手段。
And Paul in the New Testament says basically the same things in Romans 1 verse 20.
同样的，保罗在罗马书一章二十节也说出了同样的这个意义。
But general revelation will only get us so far in our understanding of God.
但是普遍启示能够带给我们的对神的认识是有限度的。
Through God's creative acts, we can certainly know that He exists and we can know that He has great power, for example.
借着看到神所创造的一切，我们当然可以理会到神存在，并且他有大能。
But general revelation really tells us very little concerning God's character and God's love.
但是呢这个普遍的启示呢，对于神自己的性情，神对我们的爱所能表达的是远远不足。
And this is where special or specific revelation comes in.
这个就是我们需要特殊启示的原因。
God has specifically communicated to us through two words.
神通过两个话语特别的向我们显明。
Those words are Christ and the Bible.
那这两个话语，一个话语就是圣经，另一个话语就是道成肉身的基督。
Now in the passage from John 1 that was read, this is where Jesus is called the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God.
我之所以用话语来说耶稣是话语，就是根据约翰福音第一章所说的太初有道，那这个英文是都是用 words, 道与神同在，道就是神。
And especially in the original Greek language, that word has a lot of nuances and shades of meaning.
因为就是原来的希腊文的词 logos, 这个字我们译成英文的 word 或者中文的道或者话语，它里面包含着很多细微微妙的意思。
But basically we can think of it this way.
我们基本上可以把它这样来理解。
Just as a spoken word expresses an idea to people,
那我要所说的话能够把我要表达的意思表达出来给人。
God's Son, Jesus Christ, expresses the person and the nature of God to us in human terms.
那神的儿子耶稣基督也是用神人的方式把神的品这个本质跟性情向人表明。
To the point that the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, actually became a man himself and took on human flesh.
所以就是这个神永恒的儿子，就是永生神三位里面的第二位，从神降到来到人间，就是取了人的形象。
Further, he reveals God to us through the life he led.
通过他在地上所活出来的生命来向我们把神显明。
Through the death he died for our sins.
也通过这个他在十字架上为我们受死，代替我们罪的惩罚。
Through his resurrection from the dead.
通过他死后的复活。
And ultimately, through his return at some point in time in a glorified resurrection body.
也最后呢，就是他要用这个荣耀的身体从天上再回来。
Now, That's one way that God has revealed himself to us through his word, the Son, second person of the Trinity.
所以神的话语向我们显现的一个方式，就是通过这个话语道成的肉身耶稣基督来向我们显现。
But for us, we are living almost 2,000 years from that event.
但是对我们来讲，基督在地上所侍奉的日子跟我们相隔2000年。
And so there has to be a way where we can learn about Christ without being physically with Christ.
所以我们这些没有在时间空间里面跟他在一起的人，怎么样能够认识耶稣基督呢？
And God has taken care of that by providing his word, the Bible.
所以神用另外一个话语，就是他的圣经，来把这个表达给我们。
Again, we learn about God, we learn about Christ, all that God has done for us, what Christ has done, through the words of Scripture.
所以我们所学到的一切，就是要认识神，认识基督，认识他为我们做什么，都是通过神的话语，就是圣经。
And so the Bible is also God's word to us, a different kind of word, but in human terms.
所以圣经也是神的话，用人能够理解的方式向我们表达。
As Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is inspired by God or God breathed.
保罗在提摩太后书3:16说，圣经都是神所默示的。这个原文有一个是说神吹气吹进去的。
You probably already realize that that image of God's breath of life goes all the way back to Genesis, where God breathed the breath of life into the first human, Adam.
所以如果我们记得的话，在创世纪第二章，就是人第一个人被创造亚当出来的时候，这个神就是吹一口气进入亚当那里，亚当就成了有灵的活人。
Then in the 2 Peter passage, 2 Peter 1:20, Peter changes the image just a little bit from breath to wind.
那同样，这个我们刚才读的这个经文，彼得后书里面所用的这个形象也同样是这个气，但是不是用口吹的气，而是像一个风。
And in that passage, you have the writers of Scripture sort of being carried along through the wind or the breath of God. This is inspiration of Scripture, and the picture is of a boat, like on a lake, that's being moved along as the wind pushes it along by its sail.
所以当彼得说，因为预言从来没有出于人意，但是被人被圣灵感动，他原来用的这个图画就是好像一个帆船在湖上被这个风鼓着风帆带动着走，这个圣灵感动就好像这个风推动着这个帆一样。
So here we have these two words of God.
所以我们就描述了神的这两种话语。
We have Jesus and the Bible.
耶稣基督和圣经。
They have two complete natures.
他们都有两个不同的性质。
Divine and human.
这个两个性质就是神性和人性。
Now, I want to go in a little further now that we have this common purpose with both of these words.
那我现在要稍微往深度一点点了，就是我们有什么共同的目的呢？我们再看这两个话语，耶稣基督和这个圣经。
And with both of them, God wants to make a connection to us or with us.
这个共同的目的就是神要借着这两个话语来跟人建立这个联系。
Now, the whole issue we have with Scripture is one of understanding what it really means.
那对于圣经，我们经常都面临一个挑战，就是要正确的认识圣经里面所说的是什么。
You have these inspired documents contained in the Bible, but they were written almost 2,000 years ago, different and beyond, two different languages, a different culture, and it's our task to try to figure this all out and understand what it really is saying to us.
Now, 我们知道这个圣经是神所默示的这个话语，但是他们写成是2000年甚至更久以前所写成的，他写成的年代跟我们现在不一样，文化的背景也跟我们不一样，所以当我们要读圣经这些话语的时候，要体会出里面要像我们所说的具体是什么意思，这是一个挑战。
So from this point on, this morning, I want to talk a little bit about Bible study methods, how we can understand Scripture and then apply it to our lives.
所以从现这个继续下去，我就想讲一下，读经的一些方法，怎么样能够使这个圣经向我们说话，让我们明白，并且能够应用在我们生命里面。
Now, Bible study is made up of basically three separate but connected interlocking procedures.
So, 这个读经的方法有三个步骤，这三个步骤虽然是分开的，但是也是彼此密切相关的。
The first is observation.
第一个步骤就是观察。
That is simply understanding what the Bible is saying.
这个观察就是说要能够读到圣经在讲什么。
Then the next one, the second one is interpretation.
第二个呢，就是解释。
And that has to do with what the Bible means, not just what it says, but what it actually means, a passage of the Bible or a book of the Bible.
所以这个解释呢，就不单只是说圣经字面上说什么，而是说它里面要表达的意思。
Then the third part is application.
那第三部分就是应用。
That's basically so what? I understand what the passage is saying, so what do I do with it? How does it affect my life?
就这个第三部分就是说，我现在明白的圣经所说的是什么了，那对我们到底有什么具体意义？到底要怎么样影响我的生命？
Now that middle one, interpretation, is especially crucial.
那中间的这一部分是非常重要的。
Because obviously, once we read the Bible, see what it says, we want to find meaning. We want to see what it's all about.
当我们读到一段经文的时候，很显然的，我们是要想要知道这段经文到底讲的是什么。
And our application of Scripture should always be related to what it means, what the passage means.
因为我们要从里面拿出应用对我们生命有什么意义的话，必须是根据正确的解释这段经文的意思。
In other words, we are not free to make the Bible say whatever we want it to say.
我们不没有这一个自由来说，哦，这是我觉得圣经对我说的话，应该是这样。
If we truly believe that the Bible is God's word, then we need to understand what He is saying to us through that word.
就是如果我们真的是把圣经看成是神的话的话，那我们就必须在理解的时候，就是要理解神到底要对我们说什么。
So how do we interpret the Bible?
那我们到底要怎么样解释圣经？
Now I could probably give half a dozen sermons on that topic alone.
So, 光是这一个专题的话，大概我可以给十个八个的讲章。
But what I want to do in the next few minutes is sort of give you the big picture of how that all works.
所以，但是下面的几分钟里面，我是想讲一下一个大的图画，看看就是从那个宏观上看，这个会怎么样。
Now, an illustration that came to me, it just came out of the blue some years ago, in trying to explain all of this, is that of a jigsaw puzzle.
就是几年前在我想向大家向别人要解释这个解释圣经这件这个步骤要怎么做的时候呢，我就想到了一个比喻。
Now, I was asking Dr. Lin a few minutes ago if they had jigsaw puzzles in China.
大家不知道知不知道 jigsaw puzzle 就是那个一个盒子里面有很多小片小片要拼图。
Yeah, he didn't think so.
他刚才问我中国有没有拼图这个玩意儿，我说好像没有。
But if you've been in this country for any length of time, you probably have seen a jigsaw puzzle or maybe put one together yourself.
不过就算中国没有这个，但是如果你来美国来了一阵子的话，应该也会玩过。
In fact, one of my granddaughters started putting jigsaw puzzles together from the time she was very tiny.
那我的孙女在她很小很小的时候就开始玩这个拼图了。
And though she's a junior in high school now, she still does it.
她现在已经读到高三，她还是经常玩拼图。
Now, for those of you who may not know what a jigsaw puzzle is, let me just briefly explain it.
那如果就当着你没有玩过这个拼图，那我现在稍微解释一下拼图是怎么样。
What you have is a picture of something.
那它原型是一个比如是一个图画。
It could be people.
那可能是人物的话。
It could be a bowl of fruit sitting on a table.
或者是比如说一个静态的这些水果在桌子上。
It could be a great work of art.
或者是一个名画。
But that picture has been cut up into all kinds of pieces that when you put it together, the pieces have to fit, right?
但是这一个原作呢就已经被分割成为很多很多小片。当你要把它复原成为原作的时候呢，那些小片呢必须是完全吻合的。
And you can go to the store and like over here to one of these drug stores and you can buy a jigsaw puzzle that maybe has 1,000 or 2,000 pieces in it.
多数的这些店比如说这个Walgreen 或者是Walmart 你都可以找到这些几百片甚至是一千两千片的这种拼图。
And so the question is, how do you begin to put that together?
那是问题是说当你拿到这五百片到两千片的这些小片的时候你怎么样从何开始从何处着手
How do you understand the, in a sense the meaning of each piece and how they interlocked or connect?
因为每一片好像看起来都差不多但是呢当你要把它放在一起的时候就并不是那么容易你到底怎么样能够看得出哪一片跟哪一片有什么关系
It's just like the books of the Bible.
这有一点像圣经里面的各个书卷。
Each book of the Bible has been divided. It wasn't written this way originally, but it's been divided into chapters, into paragraphs, and then most specifically into all of these verses.
就好像甚至圣经里面一卷书，它虽然原来的时候是没有写章节和这个。这些等等的但是后来呢我们已经把它加上了一卷书里面有多少章有多少节变成就是这个经文呢变成一个小小的一个个片段
So you're looking at a verse of scripture or maybe several verses together they're all part of this book and how do you understand what that verse really means within the context of the individual book that it comes from
就是当你看到一段经文或者是一节或者是几节或者一段
Now, this
就好像是一个那个拼图里面的一小片一样这个是整个大图的里面的一小片但是这一小片在整个大图里面起着是什么作用呢
This is where the illustration of the jigsaw puzzle comes in
这个就是这个我用的拼图的比喻的意义了
Think of the jigsaw puzzle as a book of the Bible, representing a book.
所以你就想，如果这个拼图的这个图是圣经里面的一卷书的话。
And each piece represents a verse in that book.
比如说这个每一个小的方块是代表其中的一节经文。
So how do you gain understanding and see where how these verses properly fit together and the meaning of each one?
So 你要想到说这些每一节它们之间的这些意义怎么样联系在一起。
Now one thing I learned long ago in putting jigsaw puzzles together is the way you begin to put that puzzle together is to construct each of the four corners.
那我很久以前就已经学到这一个诀窍，就是当你用 这个拼图的时候，首先你要找出四个角落的那四片。
Then you connect those four corners so that you finally have four sides.
然后呢，你找到那个有一边是直边的那个，就把那个四个角落连起来，这样呢，你就有了一个框架。
So once you get those four corners and four sides together, it becomes much easier to begin putting those pieces together, getting the proper picture, finally the picture that the puzzle represents, but how they all mean, their meaning and how they relate to each other.
所以当你先把那四个角落，然后四条边都弄好了，你就很容易看到这个框架，然后其他的每一片怎么样在这个大的框架里面套进这个图案里面，那你就会比较成功。
So when you're trying to study a book of the Bible, you have, in a sense, four corners that you're working, you're trying to understand.
当你看圣经任何一卷书的时候，实际上也有四个角落，是你首先要知道的这个框架。
And here's what they are.
那我现在告诉你这四个角是什么。
The upper right-hand corner would be the author, the human author of that book.
那这个右上角的这个框就是这个圣经书卷的人的作者。我们都知道圣灵是这个圣经的作者，人的作者。
The upper left corner would be the recipients of the book.
那左上角是这一卷书信当时的收信人。
And for example, by recipients, I mean who the book of the Bible, like a letter from Paul, with their destination, who it was written to.
比如说，当时我们在读，比如说我们在读哥林多前书，那就是这个人的作者是保罗，他收信人就是哥林多教会的人。
Then under the recipient on that bottom corner would be the overall culture of for both the writer and the people receiving the book.
左下角就是在这个收信人的下面呢，就是当时所处的文化背景。这个就是写信人跟收信人都同在同一个文化背景里面。
And the final corner would be, and this is the most important one of all, the occasion for writing.
而在右下角就是作者的下面这个角落呢，就是说当时写作这卷书的原因。
In other words, why did Paul write his first letter to the Corinthians? Why did he do that?
就是为什么保罗会写哥林多前书给哥林多的教会？
Why did he write his letter to the Romans?
为什么他会写信给罗马的教会？
Now right now at my church, I have taken on a rather heavy task. I'm preaching through the book of Revelation.
那我现在在我的教会呢，现在正在讲到的主题是启示录。
And it turns out that John wrote that rather unusual letter to a total of seven churches.
那在启示录里面，约翰要写这个很特别的这个启示书信的这个对象呢，是七个教会。
And so to really understand what's going on in that book, besides the complexity of the literary genre that he's using, you have to understand what was going on with all seven churches, and that's supplied in chapter 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation.
所以要明白就是约翰所使用的这么多的这些形象预言，不单只是要知道他所写的这个是属于预言书信内，而且要知道他收信的对象是哪一些，那就是在启示录里面第二章第三章所提到的七个教会。
Now this is really important.
那这个是很重要很重要。
And it's important, and I will give you, I've tried to boil this all down, and I hope you, if you remember only one thing about this message, it's what I'm about to say.
那所以这个很重要的重点就是说，如果今天你离开之后只记得我讲的一件事情，那就是下面要讲的这件事情。
While all the books of the Bible were written for us,
那虽然说圣经里面所有的书卷 都是为我们所写的。
None of them were written to us.
但是并不是具体当时写给我们的，我们不是当时的收信人。
That's why we have to know what these books of the Bible and everything within the books meant to the original author and recipient before we begin to apply it to ourselves.
所以在我们把书信或者经文里面的信息应用到我们生命之前，首先我们必须理解当时写信人写给收信人具体要说的是什么。
Now, this may seem rather heavy for us to do, a heavy task to understand all of this stuff.
也许有些人说，哇，读圣经这么难，要知道这么多东西。
Fortunately, and in virtually all languages, and this would, I'm sure is true for Chinese as well as English, we have a better collection of Bible study tools than any time in church history, unless you, well, you didn't need tools back when it was written, but in any time of church history, we just have an abundance of good translations and commentaries and all kinds of stuff about historical backgrounds and all of this that I've been talking about.
虽然我讲的这些背景啊，这些收信人文化等等的资料听起来好像很困难，实际上在我们今天应当不是那么困难，因为比起历史上任何的时候，我们今天所拥有的查经的工具比历史上任何时候都多，所有的这些关于文化背景历史背景等等的这些都在，无论是中文英文还是你用什么文字，都有这些相关的资料。
Even with that, however, you might feel a bit overwhelmed.
那也许你还是觉得是这个任务非常艰巨。
It seems, and it is, a lot easier for us to, without doing all of this work, we just read the Bible and we kind of decide what it means to us and we go on from there.
有些人在说，为什么这么麻烦？我就打开圣经，然后就说，我能够看明白什么，我觉得这应该是怎么理解就怎么理解，不就好了吗？
But that's not what we should do.
但是这不是我们应该做的事情。
Now, while very few of us will ever become specialists in Bible study, in the study of Scripture.
那也许在座之中不是很多人会成为圣经学者。
We all are to be students of Scripture.
但是我们都必须是圣经学生。
Again, it is because this is the primary way God has revealed Himself and His Son to us.
因为对我们来讲，圣经就是神向我们显现，神向我们显明他儿子和他自己的主要方式。
And through our understanding and application of a proper application and understanding of Scripture, this is how we grow spiritually and become more mature in Christ.
我们怎么样正确的认识圣经和应用到我们身上，就是我们在这个基督徒灵命成长的主要方式。
This is really why I began this message by sharing with you all of the difficulties that our family and friends of ours have gone through just this past week.
我在开始这个信息的时候跟你们分享了，就是在过去的一个礼拜，我的家庭、我的朋友经历的一些困难。但是正是因为这样，这个就是我要跟你所分享的关于如何理解和应用圣经的一个很重要的背景。
I am very thankful and happy to tell you that all of the people involved in these four things that I mentioned, all of them are strong Christians.
所以我可以很高兴地告诉大家，就是刚才所讲到这个发生这么多困难的这个四个人的这个主角都是非常成熟的基督徒。
Every member of our immediate family are strong Christians.
我们家中每一个成员都是很灵命很强壮的基督徒。
That includes Stephanie, her husband, and her three children.
就包括女儿 Stephanie, 她的先生还有她的三个儿女。
My brother-in-law and his family, including this soldier grandson, are strong Christians.
我在阿富汗受伤的这一个侄孙，他自己是一个灵命很强壮的基督徒，他的一家也都是。
My pastor friend who just died, who I grew up with, and his wife, strong Christians.
这一位爱德荷的牧师，他昨天刚刚去世的这位牧师，他也是一个很成熟的基督徒。
And the primary way they became strong Christians, along with the Holy Spirit, but the primary way that they understand things, they have a Christian worldview, is by their knowledge of God's Word.
那他们怎么样成为这个灵命强壮的基督徒呢？是在圣灵的帮助下，有对圣经有很好的认识，以致这个圣经的对圣经的认识塑造了他们的世界观。
And that doesn't come without personal study, understanding, and application.
所以这些都必须通过很认真的学习、解经、应用才可以做到。
So I want to end now with just reading several passages from Scripture, about Scripture, and what it does for us, and the place it should have in our lives.
所以最后在结束之前，我想跟大家读几段经文，这几段经文都是关于神的话语，让我们能够正确认识到圣经应该在我们生命里面所具有的位置和圣经能够给我们做什么。
First one is early in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. Deuteronomy 29:29.
第一段的经文是在生命记29章29节。
This is what it says. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed, there's that Revelation again. The things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. So it's talking about scripture.
这里生命记二十九章二十九节说，隐秘的事是属于耶和华我们神的，唯有明显的事，也就是神已经显明向我们启示的事，是永远属于我们和我们的子孙的，好叫我们遵行这律法书上一切的话。
The next one is Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11.
下一段经文是在诗篇119篇第9节到11节。
That, by the way, is a tremendous psalm that is all about God revealing Himself through His Word.
那诗篇119篇是一个非常棒的诗篇，因为整一篇诗篇里面所讲的都是神如何借着他的话语向我们显现。
This passage begins with a question.
这一段的经文呢，是以一个问题来反义问句开始。
The question is, how can a young man keep his way pure?
少年人用什么洁净他的行为呢？
And here's the answer.
然后他自己就回答了。
By living according to your word, I will seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you.
实际上这个回答呢，是下面的两节半的经文，就是说少年人用什么洁净他的行为呢？是要遵行你的话。我一心寻求了你，求你不要叫我偏离你的命令。我将你的话藏在心里，免得我得罪你。
Then in the same Psalm, verse 105,
同样是诗篇119, 105节。
The psalmist says, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
你的话是我脚前的灯，是我路上的光。
Then still in the Old Testament, we go over to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8.
同样也是在旧约，我们来到以赛亚书四十章第八节。
Isaiah writes, The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God remains forever.
草必枯干，花必凋零，唯有我们神的话必永远立定。
Then we jump over to the New Testament, Matthew 4, verse 4.
然后我们来到新约里面， 马太福音四章四节。
And this is Jesus speaking now.
那现在是耶稣的话。
He says, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God."
所以这节经文说，耶稣却回答说，经上记着说，人活着不是单靠食物，乃是靠神口中所出的一切话。
Of course, there are a bunch of other New Testament passages we've already mentioned in this message.
当然，除了之外，还有我们刚才已经读过的那几段新约的经文。
But the last one I want to cite is a challenge to us all.
那我最后要引用的一段经文是要给大家一个挑战。
This is James chapter 1, verse 22.
是在雅各书一章二十二节。
James says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says."
雅各书一章二十二节说，只是你们要行道，不要单单听到，自己欺哄自己。
So God has taken great measures to speak to us, we would say in English, incarnationally.
神使用多次多方的向我们晓谕，我们可以用英文的一个词是说，道成肉身的方式，或者是介入人间的方式来向我们晓谕。
Amazingly enough, he has taken on our humanity both through Jesus Christ, his son, and through his word, the Bible.
他很奇妙的借着耶稣基督来。神取了神人的形象，也借着圣经神的话取得人的话的形象来向我们显现启示。
So here's my challenge to you and to me.
所以对于我自己和对于大家，我给这样一个挑战。
Open your Bibles.
当你打开圣经。
Get out your study tools.
还有你的解经书。
Wake up your minds.
脑筋要完全清醒
Listen to him,
来听神所要说的话
and then live out what you learn.
然后你所学的你要在生命里面活出来
Thank you, it's been a real pleasure to be with you once again.
感谢谢谢大家